Okay, so we're going to review what we did last week to just get out the facts, get out the story and the questions. And the sugya is basically, it's about the original Zakenim and the replacement Zakenim and the difference between those two. And basically following the chait of the original Zakenim. Okay, so the story starts in Mitzrayim. Okay, so in Mitzrayim, there was a social hierarchy where there was, the lowest level was the Avadim, was the most of the Jews. Above most of the slaves were Shotrim, officers, who were also Jewish, right? They were, those officers were the intermediaries between the Egyptians and the Avadim and the regular Jews. And then there's also Zakenim, okay, the elders, 70 elders, okay, who were in Mitzrayim to begin with before Moshe and Aaron ever came to them. There was, they're already as a slave culture, there was a social hierarchy, and at the top of the chain were these Zakenim. And basically, Rashi mentions the chait of the original Zakenim in Mitzrayim. The chait was that God told Moshe to go to Paro, tell the Zakenim, do the osos in front of them, the dam, the stick, and all these things, to show them that you're legitimate, and they believed in Moshe. And they were supposed to accompany Moshe to Paro and deliver the message to Paro to say, let the Jews out, let them serve God in the Midbar for 3 days. And Rashi says, Perikei Pasuk Aleph, Rashi says that when you see Moshe goes to Paro, ultimately he ends up going alone. And the reason is that the Zakenim slipped away one by one. They got scared of going to Paro. And because of that, because they were afraid to go to Paro and they didn't go with Moshe and Aaron to deliver the message, they received their punishment at Har Sinai, where they were turned back at Sinai. They should have gone up on the mountain like Moshe and Aaron, like Moshe did, and ultimately they were turned back. But in Mitzrayim also you had the Shotrim, right? After Moshe and Aaron delivered the message, Paro doesn't take it well. He says, no more straw, right? Make the bricks, no more straw. And they had to have the same amount of bricks. And like the way Paro's orders were executed were Paro gives his orders to Paro, the Egyptian taskmasters. They deliver it to the Shotrim. And the Shotrim have, a bunch of Jews underneath them. And they have to make sure that the group of Jews underneath each of the Jewish Shotrim, they had to produce a certain amount of bricks. Okay, and now because of the unreasonable demand to make the same amount of bricks per day without getting the straw, right, which is something that would have been, they would have had to push the Jews, the Jewish slaves underneath them to incredible degrees, okay, and they had rachmanis on the Jews beneath them. So the Shotrim, they had rachmanis and they didn't push them, and as a result, the amount of bricks that were produced was not enough, and when the Shotrim went back to the Egyptians and said, look, we can't fulfill the demands, they got busted. Okay, the Egyptians would take it out on the Shotrim, as opposed to the Jewish Avadim having to, having to get pushed, pushed too hard by the Shotrim. The Shotrim got beaten up by the Egyptians for not producing the right amount of bricks. And as a reward for their rachmanas that they had on their other Jews, they rewarded that they became the replacement Sanhedrin, the replacement Zakenim. Okay, that's in Parshas Baloscha at the end when the original Zakenim get killed, which we'll deal with in a second. Those Shotrim, who were the taskmasters in Egypt, because as a reward for their suffering, right, for the tzara that they suffered with the Jews, they rewarded and they became the Sanhedrin. Okay, the new Sanhedrin. Okay, fine. So that's what happened in Egypt. These two groups, the Zakenim and the Shotrim. And then we went to Sinai. And basically, we followed 2 days on Sinai. The first is day five. Five of Sivan is the day before Matan Torah. So we saw that Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and the Zakenim all went up the mountain on day five, the day before Matan Torah. And this is in Mishpatim. According to Rashi, the Torah is written out of order at this point. It's Perek Chaf Dalet in Mishpatim. And they go up and they have Amar Nevuah, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, and the Shivim Zakenim. It's Perek Chaf Dalet Pasuk Tes. It's Vayamosh Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Vishivim Zakenim Yisrael. Vayurei Selokei Yisrael, Vesachos Ragav, Kamaisa Livnas Asapir, Kriyatzim Shemayim Otoar. they have this Mar Nevuah, where they see underneath God's feet, they see bricks, right? And Rashi says it's to remind them of the Shibud, to remember the Tzar of Klal Yisrael, when they were Meshubadim with bricks in Paro, like these same bricks that they had to build for Paro. So there was bricks in front of God, so he remembered their Tzara. And there was like a, and there was the image of the sky and its, and its, you know, purity and light, when that when they were redeemed, there was light in front of God. He was happy and there was light in front of him. And that was the Mar Nevuah which they all saw. But Moshe and Aaron did just fine, right? They saw the Mar Nevuah, and that was good for them. But Nadavavim and the Shivim Zekinim, they sinned, right? They were eating. They were eating while they were getting the Mar Nevuah. They were eating bread, they were eating the kachem, whatever they were doing, they were eating. And because of that, we said it's like the drive-in movie. They took it like a movie. They eating popcorn while they were watching the Mar Nevuah. It was a big chait. And because of that, they were chayiv misa. Okay, they really should have been, right? The pasuk says, "Vesatzila b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yadov," to the gedolim of b'nei Yisrael, or the gedolim are Nadaviyu and Zekenim. God did not kill them. Vayachas v'selkim v'yochlu v'yishcho. And they were looking at the Shechina, or the Mar Nevuah of the Shechina, and they were eating and drinking, and really because of that chait, they should have been chayiv misa. But God did not want to mix the simcha of Matan Torah with the avelus of killing the Zekanim and Nadav and Aviyu. Therefore, he waited to kill Nadav and Aviyu at the Yom HaShemini, and HaKamos HaMishkan, and the Shivim Zekanim at the Misonim, which we'll get to in a second. Okay? Then basically we have day 6, Matan Torah. So day 6, Matan Torah, the Nadav Aviyu and the Shivim Zekanim are no longer invited to go up the mountain, which is what we interpreted to mean Rashi saying that they were turned backwards. They had to stay with the rest of the Am. But rather it was only Moshe, Aaron, and the Kohanim, okay, which were the Bechoris at that time. They were allowed to go up the mountain, and the rest of the Am, including Nadav Aviyu and the Shivim Zekanim, had to stay back. And we said that it would seem that a very good explanation of why on the prior day they were invited up the mountain and on the next day they weren't was because of this very sin, that they were eating and drinking while they were looking at the Mar Nevuah on day 5, the day before Matan Torah. They should have been Chai Misa, fine, God didn't kill them, but the very next day they're not going to be invited to go back up the mountain. Right? On the other hand, Rashi attributes the reason why they were turned back and they weren't allowed to go up the mountain on day 6, the day of Matan Torah. Rashi attributed it back in Perek Hey, he attributed to the sin that the Zekanim committed by not going with Moshe to Paro, right? With Moshe and Aaron to Paro. So the question was, is it really because of the sin in Mitzrayim, or is it because of the sin that happened the prior day, which they were Chayav Misa for? Okay, and if you're going to say it's entirely the sin of Mitzrayim, and nothing to do with what they did the day before, V'yochlu v'yishtu, so then why did Nadav Aviyu not get to go up on the second day? Right, on during day of Matan Torah. Okay, fine. So then we skipped a little bit and skipped a year. Okay, go ahead.
So Nadav and Aviyu weren't eating and drinking?
They were. Nadav and Aviyu and the Shivim Zekanim were eating and drinking while they were having the Mar Nevuah. While they were looking at the Shechina, Yochlu, Vyechazir, so Kim, Vyechlu, Vyeshchim. So that's Nadav and Aviyu and the Shivim Zekanim. Nadav and Aviyu were killed when they sinned, when they brought Esh Zara Lefnei Hashem in Shemini. Right, that was in the 8th of Nisan, maybe the 1st of Nisan next year. And the Zekanim were killed later, about a year later, from Matan Torah when they left. Right, three days after they left Har Sinai.
Nadav and Aviyu didn't slip away like the Zekanim if they weren't.
No, yeah, right. It was just the Shivim Zekanim. There's no indication that they were right. They're not the same people. Right, exactly. So they didn't commit that first sin, but still they weren't invited out the second day. So
what was the question? How could we explain the question again?
The question is like, what I mean at this point is, what's this relationship between who? I mean, the main thing we're really trying to get to is, who are these Zekanim, right? What was their sin? Is there any continuity in their personality and their flaw in the sin? We have the one sin they had in Mitzrayim where they weren't willing to go with Moshe Aaron to Paro to deliver the message. Then we have the second time they sinned, which they're Chayav Misa for, by eating and drinking at Har Sinai the day before Matan Torah. And then we know that, you know, the next day they get punished and not allowed to go up on the mountain. So what's the, is there a relationship between those two sins? Who are these Zekanim? There are 70 Zekanim.
And all of them were eating and drinking?
All of them. And Nadav and Aviyu. It was the thing to do. Peer pressure. You would think so, right? But no. Not even one. Yeah, peer pressure. So yes, man. Okay. And then basically we went to Baal Otzcha. right? By Midbar, Perek Yud Aleph. So this is the sin of the Misonanim. So the Misonanim, Rashi learns, they were looking for a pretext. This is after they were at Sinai for a year, and they got the Torah and they got the mitzvos, and it was time for them to travel and to go into Eretz Yisrael, right? And that's right after they've been so Aaron, and everything is going well, and they're traveling, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they get a panic attack. They just realize they can't do this. These mitzvos are too much for them. They're looking for a reason to pick a fight with God, right? To start complaining about something. They want God to get angry at them and say, enough, I don't want you anymore, so that they can basically go back to Mitzrayim and live Hefkerville. They don't want these mitzvos. It's too restrictive, right? And there's a continuity. And then in the very next parsha is the Kivros Taiva, where they say, remember the fish that we used to eat, and the cucumbers, and the onions, all these things that were free, right? Which Rashi interprets to mean free from mitzvos. They used to be able to eat and drink and didn't have any of these restraints. And they're bochel mishpachosav, they're crying about the arayos that are ushered to them. So basically they got a panic attack after they had after Sinai, of like living a life of mitzvos, where like they're never going to be able to be involved in the same instinctual satisfactions that they used to be able to do before they came to Sinai, and they were looking for a way out. So they started complaining. They started making up things of, this is no good, we're traveling too fast, our feet are tired, why is God pushing us so fast, and things like that. Okay, God gets angry, he sends out a fireball, and he kills, according to one pshat, he kills the heir of Rav, and according to the other pshat in Rashi, which is, it seems to me that they're both true according to Rashi, is he kills the Zakenim. Okay? So the question is why are the Zakenim getting killed here? It's like, it's true that Zakenim are chayiv miset har Sinai. God didn't want to mix up, you know, the simcha of Matan Torah with Avelus and kill the Zakenim at har Sinai and Matan Torah. So fine, so kill them later. Why is he killing them at this moment by the Misonanim? Right? He killed Nadav and Avihu, I think it was about a month earlier, when Nadav and Avihu sinned the second time of bringing Esh Zara. And we see clearly Nadav and Avihu had to do another sin in order for their Chiyav Misa to occur. Right? So it seemed that there's some sort of hate. Somehow this sin of the Am, complaining, is somehow attached to the Zakenim, or else why is the Zakenim getting punished when the Am is the one sinning? Go ahead.
Why does it necessarily have to be that the latter avera is associated with the punishment?
With the Zakenim?
Well, with Nadav Avihu.
No, I'm just showing that Nadav Avihu, even though they were Chayiv Misa at Har Sinai,
right,
and God pushed off, he didn't kill them then, he waited. But when did he kill them? He didn't kill them just out of the blue 6 months later.
Right.
He killed them a year later at Yom HaShemini when they brought Ezar from the Hashem. They opened the Pasuk, they sinned again. So it's, even though when it means God pushes off the Chiyav Misa, it doesn't mean one day he's going to get you, boom. But it means when you sin again in some way that apparently, presumably has some sort of relationship, or I don't know, whatever, some sort of sin again that you do, then he'll kill you.
What was the last
thing? That what? By another?
Well, when were they killed? They were killed by the last...
The Zakenim?
Yeah.
The Zakenim were killed by the Misonanim when Klai Yisrael was traveling. After the 3 days after they left Har Sinai, they were traveling to go into Eretz Yisrael, and then and the nation starts complaining.
This is about
it was right before that. They were just starting. First, they just start complaining about it's too much. It's too much. It's, you know, it's no good. God kills them with a fireball. Then in the same parasha, they say, "We remember the meat. We remember the food. We want to with them, no mitzvahs." They're killed right before the thing with the meat. That was a little confusing. Yeah, I should have brought that up. Okay, I was just showing you that the interpretation of what was bothering them. That's just how I learned. According to Rashi, what was bothering the nation was the mitzvahs. They were looking for some sort of pretext to separate from God. Right? They felt like they got into a relationship they didn't know how to get out of, and they felt the best way for them to get out of the relationship was by picking a fight with God, getting God angry at them, and then if God gets angry at them, maybe he'll break it off. Instead, he didn't break it off. He just killed them. He didn't. It was bad. Bad for them. Bad plan.
You said they killed Eir of Rav. What
is
that?
That was the first pshat in Rashi, is that they just killed the people complaining. Who is the Eir of Rav? The Am. Right? Am was Rishayim. So it was the Eir of Rav. But the second pshat in Rashi, which I think it means both are true, because you can't go against the pasuk that it killed the people also. But it was both. It was the people, and I think it can, and is a Canaan. But the question, because the main question is, why does the Zakenim getting taken out now? It doesn't seem like they had any part in this particular chet. Okay, so we have like basically, so we have these three episodes, and we're trying to understand what's the pshat in the Zakenim. Right after, in the very same parasha, after the Zakenim are killed, and the Am starts complaining again about the basar and the cucumbers and all these things that they wanted, Moshe Rabbeinu flips out. He says, I can't take this anymore. He says, I can't carry this Am on my own. It's too much. Am I supposed to, did I give birth to them? Why do I have to be like a nursing father? Omer is a male. I got to carry the little nursing baby. I didn't give birth to them. Why do I have to take care of them? It's too much for me. Kill me now. I can't take this anymore. Okay? Yeah, go ahead.
So presumably they had some kind of role. I mean, they required to fulfill some kind of role.
Who does the king know?
Because the king was a different though, right?
Yeah.
They were the leaders,
correct.
So they did not fulfill their leadership role. I mean, in terms of like they didn't serve as role models the way they were supposed to.
Right. Are you trying to explain therefore the relationship?
Yeah, therefore they were.
Right. Correct. Good.
And then even in the last case, I think maybe if they even were apathetic towards what other people were doing, I think that could have been the last straw. They were just.
Okay. Good. I'm going to go in that direction. Okay. I'm going to develop a little bit more particulars. I'm going to go in that direction to explain it. But yeah, that's the way I'm going to go. And just to finish up the story, so Moshe Rabbeinu says he can't take it anymore, and God says to him, "Esfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael." Where is this? This is it's Perak Yud Aleph Pasuk Tes Zayin. Esfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael shiadati kihem zikne am v'shotrav. So Rashi says these are the shotrim in Mitzrayim, the officers in Mitzrayim who had rachamim, who had compassion on their brethren, and they didn't want to force them to make those bricks when they didn't get the straw, and therefore they got beaten by the Egyptians. So these are the ones who became the replacement Zakenim, right? And they'll stand there with you, and then they get some of the ruach from Moshe Rabbeinu. His ruach nevuah becomes extended from Moshe Rabbeinu onto them. Okay, that's the tzalti, right? Vatzaltim in a ruach asher alecha vasamti alecha. Okay, and they're going to help you bear the burden. Okay. So
that ruach, was that with a functional transference?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Marshall. That's exactly what it means. It was a functional, yeah. Perfect definition. Okay, so the question is, how do we try to answer these Zakenimar? So I'm going to start. I'll try to go in chronological order. And I'll tell you the main methodology I use to try to get some input.
According to Rashi. Okay.
Yeah, all Rashi. What do you mean? Because of the...
No, I'm saying chronological order.
Oh, yeah. According to Rashi. So, okay. So I'm going to start as basically the main method I had for starting was it seems to me that there's a certain contrast between the original Zakenim and the replacement Zakenim. Because you have in Mitzrayim, you have these two groups, and then when they get killed, the solution is to replace the first guys with the second guys. Okay, so I think if you look at the what was the milo of the replacement Zakenim, it'll help us see what the chait, what the lacking of the original Zakenim was. Okay, so if you see that the replacement Zakenim, their milo was that they were compassionate. And they were willing to suffer for the sake of the people. Okay, and they were willing to get beaten and be beaten up by the Egyptians in order not to have to really push the nation, push the people underneath them excessively. And because of that, that's why they were roy for the gedula of being the Zakenim. Okay, but it would seem that the original Zakenim did not have that. Okay, in fact, it's the opposite. Is true by them, is that they were tasked with going to Paro on behalf of the people and delivering a message, and this is the message that ultimately is going to be the beginning of the process of Geula for Klal Yisrael. And they get scared. What is Paro going to do to us? Right? He's a big scary king, and we don't know what he's going to do to us. And even though they trust Moshe Rabbeinu Vayaminu, they were intellectually satisfied that he was a messenger from God and he did the osos and. They had established, his veracity. They didn't have any intellectual doubt, but they got scared. And they weren't willing to put their neck on the line for the benefit of the people. Okay? So I think basically what the Torah is setting up is you're seeing basically two types of Zakenim. Okay? One is the good leaders, and the other is I can call politicians, okay? Okay, politicians. And I don't like to say, you know, we'll see if the Zakenim, I'm sure they were great Chachamim, the original Zakenim, right? Because they were the leaders of the nation, even in the, you know, I'm sure they weren't fools, but they're politicians. I think that basically the Torah is setting up these two types of people who get into being in this position of being a leader of Klal Yisrael. And sometimes people, they become leaders and they seek out power and they seek out and they become appointed to positions of authority in a nation because it benefits them, right? There's a lot of benefits that come with being a politician. If you have the power and you're willing to use it for your own sake, okay, so then it becomes something that you could, you know, you can bestow favor on people who are close to you and people will donate to your campaign, and you know it becomes a very beneficial thing for the politician, for the leader, to be in his position. And he does it, and people seek office, they seek to become, to have that role, because of what it does for them. But in a situation where it comes that they're going to have to stick their neck out and risk themselves for the nation, they're not going to do that, because that's not what they're in it for. They're in it for themselves, they're not in it for the people. Okay? Then you have a different type of a leader, who's not doing it for himself. And in fact, it stinks to be the second type of leader, but he's doing it for the people. He's willing to suffer because he knows you need a leader, and he knows you need an officer, somebody who can lead the people, and he's willing to do it because he wants the best for the nation, and somebody has to do it, and he's really willing to do it, willing to suffer and give up his personal life in order for the tzibor to have the most possible success. Okay, and that was really the shochem, where they were willing, it wasn't a pleasant job to be the officers in between the Egyptians and the Jews. Because, well, the Jews are complaining to you, why are you pushing us so hard? The Egyptians are saying, why don't you get the work done? It's like a terrible job. It's not a job that you would seek, that you would want, okay? But it's a job that somebody has to do it. And they were, I don't know if they were forced to, but they were willing to, but they did it, and they were willing to do it in terms of what's best for the nation. Okay, and if you see the condition, right? Whenever God appoints one of these leaders, right? Either when it was first appointing Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was appointing the Shirin Zakenim, there was a t'nai of becoming a leader, right? So the Rashi says, let's see if I can find it. He says, Kisomer Eli. He says, "Vayitzavnu b'nei Yisrael." So when God commanded Moshe to go to b'nei Yisrael initially, it's Amanash Yisoklan Eschem u'Mecharpin Eschem, right? So it was on the condition Moshe and Aaron became appointed leaders for Klal Yisrael on the condition that they're willing to be stoned and cursed out by the nation. Okay, it's one heck of a job. Okay, and the same thing is Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Zakenim. Is these new Zakenim is that you're doing it on the same that's the same condition that was given to these Zakenim. That's Almanas, that you're gonna have to be bear the burden of, oh yeah, Rashi says, Venasu itach hisneim ahem, that they'll carry the burden with you. The Moshe Rabbeinu made the same condition. Amanashi kablu lechem torach banai shem torchanim v'sarbanim. So you have to accept the deal with Klal Yisrael, who are the, you know, bnei makom, and it's not an easy job, you know. And you see they have to be convinced, because Rashi says v'lakachtem itim. You have to like take them. Moshe Rabbeinu had to take these zakenim. He says chem bedvarim. Take them with words. Ashreichem. You're very fortunate. Shenismanisem parnasim abanav shalmakom. That you're appointed leaders on the children of God. Okay, so you have to convince, basically the genuine leader has to be convinced in order to take the job, because it's not a good job. It's a job that he's going to have to be cursed and stoned and suffer for, and he's not doing it. He's doing it for the people. He's not doing it for himself. As opposed to the original Zakenim, who were in place. They had ascended the chain of command before the whole Gula started, before the Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu, before the Sinai, they were there. So they were savvy politicians. They knew how to work it, and they got to the top of the hierarchy, the social hierarchy. But they were doing it primarily for themselves, for the position, for the greatness, for the, okay. And because of that, they weren't really willing to go to Pyro and risk it in order to benefit the people. Yeah, your question.
I mean, I thought the originals of Canaan were just like the Chachamim of that generation.
They were the Chacham, but they were the leaders. They were the ones who had to go.
Right, but it wasn't necessarily that they were the only, like, they were the smartest people, so, you know, it was by default that they would be the leaders.
I don't think, you know, I mean, you could say they were the smartest, but, I mean, I don't know. You know, Aaron wasn't among them, you know.
Right, but he was counted in a different group.
No, but why wasn't he, wasn't one of the Shins of Canaan. I don't think, you know, the reality, I think in a nation, you got to realize what Bnei Yisrael was like. For hundreds of years of slavery, they weren't like this great chachma-loving nation.
Right.
That and just the way it works in like the real world is like the most intelligent people don't just become leaders. You know, in fact, the most intelligent people stay away from being leaders. And unfortunately, the people who seek to be leaders are the people who have the most to gain. Yeah, like there's no philosopher king. You know, you don't get philosopher kings running for government. Philosophers know good enough; you know, they're intelligent enough to stay away from the government. So these Zikanim who were in place before the whole Nevuah, in a nation that was steeped in Chet, steeped in Avodah Zarah, Klal Yisrael was not on the highest level, they were the Zikanim of that nation. I'm sure they were intelligent. I'm sure they were intelligent, but ultimately they were there so long as it benefited them. And when it came to really risking their you know, their stature, their life, or what power would do to them, who knows. When it came to that, for the nation to go with Moshe and Aaron to give him some back, they weren't willing to do it. Okay, they weren't willing to do it. And because of that, you'll see the chain of events. But that's where I'm going to start out, is that there's these two types of leaders, the politician and the good leader. Okay, so that's the first chain in Mitzrayim. So now we'll move to Sinai. So what was the Mar Nevuah of Sinai? The first, the prior to Matan Torah. Okay, on day 5. So it's, let's see, where is that? Perichav Dalet. Right? So it's, so what happens is basically the leaders of Klai, so Moshe Aaron, another Nevi'im, the Zikanim, is on day 5, the day before Matan Torah. They're invited up the mountain, and it seems like they're the only ones who have this Mar Nevuah. Right? It doesn't seem like the rest of the nation is invited. It seems like it's a Mar Nevuah just to the leaders of Klal Yisrael, right? Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and the Zikanim. So what do they see? Vayiras el Kisrael, Vasachas Ragov, Kamaisa Livnas, Asaper, Chetzim, Mashmaim, Latoha. So they see that before that, this is, God is giving them, He's giving them a Mar Nevuah of how He views the suffering of, and the redemption of Klal Yisrael. Okay? It's so to speak, they're being informed of the Shechina's attitude towards the suffering of the nation and the redemption of the nation. And it's saying that when the nation is suffering, so then God is aware of that. Right? Imo nochi betzara. When Klal Yisrael suffers, the Shechina suffers. And when Klal Yisrael is nigal, then there's a gula for the Shechina. Right? This is the Mar Nevuah that the leaders of Klal Yisrael were privy to about the how the Shechina views the suffering of the nation. Right, and it's really a pasuk in Bereishis by what God tells Yaakov, is I will go down with you to Mitzrayim and I'll go up with you from Mitzrayim. I'll go down and I'll go up. The Shechina goes down with Klal Yisrael, the Shechina goes up with Klal Yisrael. Right? So what is it? What does that mean? Okay. What does it mean that the Shechina suffers with Klal Yisrael and the Shechina is redeemed with Klal Yisrael? Right? Something non-literal, I hope, right?
Hashem has a certain plan that he wants to go along with for now.
Okay.
Or like the view of the Shechina is kind of affected by how, I mean, like, since, you know, we're the ones who are representing it, right? So if we go in like a negative path, people view it in a negative light.
Right. You're right. Okay. You go ahead.
Well, so I mean that, can I say that I just meant that the Shechina is in accordance with the Am, meaning whatever the Am does is going to affect what the Shechina is going to, like, you know, what's going to occur.
Right. Okay, good.
Depending on it.
Yeah, it's showing you that the fate of the Shechina is tied to the fate of Klal Yisrael. They're not independent things. It matters to the Shechina what happens to Klal Yisrael. It's like you would think there's indifference. What does God care? What happens to mere mortals, right? What's the difference, right? But the Shekhinah is bound up with Klal Yisrael. There's a relationship there. It's, right, but what does it mean? I think this, go ahead.
What's the
Shekhinah? What does Shekhinah mean? Yeah. What? Yeah, okay, fine. So Shekhinah, I think Shekhinah, the best way Shekhinah is the quote Hashem. Okay, is man?
Oh, that was
great.
Okay, is how God is perceived in this world. Okay, is how God is perceived in this world. The name of God. Okay, it's the is man's knowledge of God, his recognition of God, and his the way that the world as a whole perceives the God of the Jews. Okay, Yisrael, and it is even though. You know, the whole world is his, right? You know, Rosh Hashanah, Malchus Hashem. But as Vayiras Elokei Yisrael, is that God is identified by the world as the God of the Jews, even though he's the God of the universe, but Kel Olam, but he's identified as the God of the Jews. And when the Jews are suffering, and when the Jews are in Avdus, the Jews are being persecuted, they're being killed, they're being enslaved, so then people view that as that the God of the Jews is weak, he's unable to stop it. And there's a Chil Hashem in the world. And when the Jews are redeemed, and there's, you see, Klal Yisrael back in Eretz Yisrael, right, when the Jews are taken out of Mitzrayim, so then they say that they see the greatness of the God of the Jews. And there's Kiddush Hashem in the world. So it's the Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, right, the name of God in this world, whether it's sanctified or desecrated, right, that's tied, it's really tied to the destiny of the Jews, of what happens to the Jewish people. Okay, Yisrael. Okay, so when the Jews suffer, it matters, because the world as a whole suffers, and the Shem Hashem in the world it suffers. That's what it means that the Shekhinah suffers. Right? So then, but when the Jews are redeemed, so then that impacts Kiddush. It's a big Kiddush Hashem in the world. It causes people to recognize, like by Purim, right? Rabbim me'am eretz misyadim, right? That many, after the salvation of Purim, a lot of people converted. Right, a tremendous amount of conversions because of Mordechai and because of the Jews and the salvation. The same thing when we had the Geulas Mitzrayim, the Eir of Rav, there's a tremendous amount of conversions. Everyone wants to become a Jew now once you have something like Mitzrayim. Right? So there's a tremendous amount of Kiddush Hashem when or in Chedav Lefanov, there's like happiness and light before God because there's Kiddush Hashem and recognition of his Malchus when Klal Yisrael is redeemed, and there's a Chil, and then corresponding when there's Avdus, so there's a Chil Hashem in the world. Okay, and that was the Mar Nevuah really for these Zikanim. Okay, but
what exactly is Mar
Nevuah? This message, this idea of how God relates to the suffering and the redemption of the Jewish people.
What was the Mar Nevuah? How we get into
that? That's just how Rashi interprets. It means there's a one that means there's a brick underneath his feet. Takas Rav Ma'aseh Zaper means. When they were enslaved, he was remembering the bricks, the servitude. He knew he was aware of it. And when they were redeemed, there was etzem hashem anatoa, there was happiness and light in front of him. That's how Rashi interprets the mind of it. Did you have a question? Or okay. So I think that basically that's the... So I'm going to read a Rambam. It's in Perek Chavav and Hilchos Sanhedrin. I hope I got the right one. No, I didn't get the right one.
I did have a question.
You have a shoftim? A shoftim, yeah.
I did have a question.
Okay, go question.
Why was this the message? Like, why make this the message at this point in time?
Oh, to the leaders.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good question. Right before Har Sinai.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Like, why tell it now?
Right.
Why can't it just be before him? In that way, they didn't know it.
Right, why was it critical that right before Har Sinai?
Yeah.
That the leaders get this message? That's a great question. Okay, we're going to take that up.
Yeah, good question, Jake.
Yeah. So we're gonna
like that.
It's a great part. We're gonna take it up in the next part. We'll explain that.
Three.
No, not the. I'm saying when we get to the misononym, we're gonna explain why that.
But what you're saying is that the Zakenim, that they already had the chiyuv onish because they slipped away from Moshe, and now they're still getting a mar nevuah despite the fact that their onish was going to be not to go up. On the mountain with Moshe Aaron
correct.
And the Vito, right?
Correct, yeah. Because Rashi says that because they slipped away, they were turned back at Sinai. So the way I'm...
Right, not that they were killed in Tavera.
Correct, yeah. The way I'm interpreting it, I'll just do it before the Rambam. I'll just answer that question. The way I'm interpreting that is to say that there was a sin they had vis-a-vis the people, that they were really, they put themselves in front of the nation. Okay?
Right.
And what happened was, is that flaw ultimately culminated in a certain sense of self-importance and gasas ruach, right, haughtiness that they had.
So that was addressed by them not going up.
Well, what that ended up resulting into a sin bein adam l'makom. So on day five, when it was just had their relationship to the people, they were, was inappropriate. They were putting themselves ahead of the people. They were invited to go up to the mountain and to receive this Mara Nevuah about the proper role that a leader should have. But they didn't take that message to the heart. In fact, they took it in a certain sense, like almost like in an opposite connotation of...
I mean, eating and drinking.
Eating and drinking. But eating and drinking, Rashi says, it shows gasas halev, like a certain familiarity with God, like they were close. They took it in an opposite sense of like, look at us. We are the only ones who are invited up this mountain. Moshe, Aaron, other Neviyu, and us. And the rest of the Am, those schlumps, they're left back down there. They're not even getting this Mara Nevuah. We're the only ones who are special. They took it as like a idea that they were like special. There's some inherent significance to them because they're the top brass. They're the top guys. And they took it
as...
same
fate, why they didn't put themselves at risk in power.
Right, exactly. Like the fact that they looked at the position of leadership as one that enhances their own personal cover, their own personal power. And they took God selecting them and Moshe, Aaron, other Neviyu to go get this Mara Nevuah, they took it as opposed to taking it, since we're the leaders, this message is critical for us to know, they took it as a confirmation of their illusion, their fantasy, that they were really intrinsically a superior breed of politician and greater people, and that therefore they deserve this special kavod. And they had a certain gasas ruach, and therefore that attitude ended up influencing when they were having the Mara Nevuah, they're eating and drinking, because it was kind of like, sit back and relax, we're such great people, God wants us close to Him, and therefore they took it in a spirit of haughtiness. As opposed to, well, how they should have taken it, as we're the leaders, this message is critical for us to know, but not that we're really intrinsically great people, and you know we're better than the nation. Okay,
that's Gassus Ruach is what led them to be killed by Tavera.
Yeah, correct.
Just like the original.
Correct. That's what ultimately led them to be Chayiv Misa, because it was really an affront to the Kvod Hashchina. And also, I'm saying that's really why they weren't invited back up on the next day, Amatan Torah. But the two sins are related. It's the way the politician relates to the people, that he's in it for his own personal cover, his own personal power. So that leads him to end up having a certain sense of importance, of objective importance. It's like he always...
And what about Jake's question? Can you answer that?
Yeah, we'll answer that soon. But basically, he's like, the chait is, he takes a certain relative position, of his position of authority and power relative to the people, and then he ends up saying, that gives me some sort of absolute greatness relative to God. So then he starts to feel he has a certain value relative to God, he has this Mara Nevuah, and he feels he's free, he's buddies with God. God wants to be friends with me, I'm so important, of course God wants me close, so he's talking to God, he's eating and drinking. He lacks the covenant and the respect for God because he has a certain gasas ruach that he got from his position. Okay, we're going to take it up in a second. Go ahead, Jake.
So at first it seems like the original had that sort of gasas ruach, and then you could just see from the replacement that they also had the same thing.
The replacement?
Just interpreted differently.
The replacement, Zakenim, did have that, you say? Why do you say that?
So you just said that the second ones also were, that they said that the message is only given to us.
That was the second incident with the first set.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, right. It was the second incident. Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Right.
The second Zakenim, these guys are perfect, okay? In fact, I mean, well, before we get to the other, I'll read you one. I'll read two Rambams first. Before we get to the... these are really about the second Zakenim. So the first is, it's Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel. Okay? So this is the halacha, there's a mitzvah of appointing judges. Okay? So the Rambam's like this. Kama bati dinim kavuan yu b'Yisrael, v'kami yu minyanam. So how many courts do you set up? What's the number? It says Kovin Bitchila based in a gadol b'mikdash v'u'a nikras and hedrin gadol v'minyanam echad v'shivim. So first you establish in the mikdash lishkas agazis sanhedrin gadol and the 70-71 shenemar esfali shivim ish mezikne Yisrael. Okay, and he quotes the pasuk of the second zakenim, right? Esfali, the replacement Zikanim. Esfali Shemish Mizikni Israel Shahim Atam Yodim Shahim Zikne Am Bashotrav. So the Shotrav. Okay? That's how you know the Sanhedrin is 70. Okay, how do you know 71? Umoshe al Gabeim. And Moshe is on top of the 70. There's 70 replacements of Canaan and one Moshe Rabbeinu. Shenem Marva Hisyatsu Sham Imach. Right? They're with Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a tsiruf between them and Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? They're an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hereshim Ve'achat. That's 71. Okay? So these are really the whole Sanhedrin Agadol. Right, the paradigmatic Sanhedrin Agadol is Moshe Rabbeinu and the replacement 70s of Canaan. They form the paradigm of what Sanhedrin Agadol is supposed to be.
72.
No, 70s of Canaan and one Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol.
I'm saying he's in a Sanhedrin 72?
No, 71. Ein Beis Din Shachta. Right? Okay. Hagadol b'chachma shebekulon mashiv nosim b'rosh. So of the 71, the greatest chacham, he sits at the head. V'hu arosh ha'yeshiva, v'hu shekor nosecham nasi. That's what a nasi is. Nasi is the top guy in the 71. V'hu shekor nosecham nasi b'chol makam, v'hu ha'omei tachas Moshe Rabbeinu. So, I mean, halachically, his position is he's a replacement of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, and the other 70 Sanhedrin, they're a replacement of the 70 replacements of Zekanim. Because these Zekanim, they are the paradigms, they are koveya, what it means to be a leader of Klal Yisrael, these second guys, right? Because that, and Rashi really attributes it to that quality of they're willing to suffer for the nation. Okay, we'll read one more Rambam here. This is the Rambam that really kind of ties it all together. And then we'll move on to the last part. So the Rambam is, it's Perek Chaf Vav, I think, in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Or Chaf Hei Halach Aleph. Okay, so the Rambam's like this. Aser L'dayin Linhog Bistrar Al Tzibor V'gasas Ruach Ela Banav V'yiro. It's also for a judge to have authority on the tzibor and haughtiness. Rather, he has to have humility and fear. Right? It can't be excessive. V'chol parnas hamatal imi yisrael al tzibor shelo shem shemayim nenash. And any leader who creates like a fear, like a certain fear of him, on the tzibor, not for the shem shemayim. Shem shemayim is okay. Shenal shem shemayim, meaning for his own benefit. He likes the power. He gets a thrill out of that. He's punished. That I don't know why. What's the connection there? V'chein aser lo linog b'hem kalas rosh afa pi sheim ame aretz v'lo yifsal roshe ama kodosh. So it's aser for him to be noeg, treat them like they're lowly people, even though they're just regular ame aretz, regular common people. They might not be special dayanim like he is. He shouldn't step on their heads. Don't tread on their heads. Afa pi sheim idiotos, even though they're ordinary people, ushfeilim, and they could be lowly people, and it means even if they view themselves as lowly people, right? It doesn't mean that they're just regular common people. As they could view themselves as we're nothing, and you're just a big, great big Dayan, and you're the big leader, and we're nothing, and they could be downtrodden people. Still, he shouldn't treat them that way, right? Afal pi sheim hadyotos ushfeilim, they're ordinary people, lowly. B'nei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov heim. Okay, they're the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. V'tzivos Hashem shehotzi meretz Yitzrayim b'koch gadol yad chazaka. And they are the old army, the legions of God, who he took out from Mitzrayim with the Osos and the Nisim and all these things. Okay? Which means, I think what it means is that they are the vehicles of Kiddush Hashem. Right? Klal Yisrael is a unique nation. Is that what's unique about us? Is we're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We may have the philosophy of Yichud Hashem, the Derech HaChaim of the Avos. And we are the nation that was redeemed by God, taken out of Mitzrayim, given the Torah. So, yeah, they're just ordinary people, but they're the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem in the world. And you should not treat this tzibor in a way, in a manner where you're like mevaza them, where you look down upon the tzibor. You're a great big leader, yeah, but you can't treat the tzibor that way. Rather what? He rams like this. V'sovel torech tzibor, he has to bear the complaints, the difficulties of the tzibor, masam, and the burden. Kimosha Rabbeinu, shenemar bo kasha yisa omen es ayonek. Right, just the pasuk quotes by the Shem Zekanim, like you have to, like you carry the nursing child. So it's a very dizalacha that you have to be able to bear the tzibor, you have to bear the burden and their complaints and their torach and their sovil, the masam and all this stuff, just like a mother carries the nursing child. Okay, which means. But what does it mean? V'tzeyulam Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shakol Nevi'im. Who's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? The head of the greatest prophet ever. Kivan Sheshalcha Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim V'Nemar V'Yitzavim B'nei Yisrael. So God sent them, commanded Moshe and Aaron to go to B'nei Yisrael. He commanded them to B'nei Yisrael. Amru Mipia Kabbalah. Right, we have a Mesorah. It's interesting, fascinating thing. Ram quotes like this Medrash, Mipia Kabbalah. This Rashi, the Ram Mechilta. The Ram holds it, apparently it's Mipia Kabbalah. It's not just the Rashi, but it's Mipia Kabbalah. It's a real Mesorah. Sha'amr Lehem L'moshe L'aron Amonashi Mekalin Eschem V'sokun Eschem Bavanam. Okay, on the condition, Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed to be the leader in Aaron, on the condition that they would do it to the point where they would be stoned and they would be cursed out. Okay, and it's compared to a nursing child, I think, because the simple explanation is the proper role of a parnas, of a leader in Klal Yisrael, is a totally thankless job. Okay, there's no more thankless job than nursing a child, okay? The child just takes everything and he gets nothing back and there's no thank you, it's just crying and diapers. It's a terrible job. It's a terrible, terrible life, okay? And that is the life of the parnas of Yisrael. That's what he's doing. He's not doing it for the fun. What does he get from the Am? The good leader, the people do not say, praise him and you're unbelievable. A politician everybody loves, you know he's corrupt, okay? The real leader, the people curse him, they hate him, they want to stone him. Why? Because he's not corrupt, he's not giving out goodies, he's doing what's in the best interest of the people, whether or not the people, that is exactly what emotionally pleases the people. That is Almanas, that is the condition that Moshe and Aaron had to accept when they had to accept the shlichus to be Bnei Yisrael, and that was the condition that the Shin Zakenim, when they were appointed to get the Nevuah to be an extension of Moshe Rabbeinu, an extension of his Ruach HaKodesh, right? Which wouldn't be an extension of his Ruach HaKodesh, of his Midos, of the Midos of the Shechina that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Kashu Yisahu Menes Yonek, that Moshe Rabbeinu had this Midah, he typified that. They had to be an extension of that Midah, and of bearing the burdens of the Tzibor. Why? Because the Tzibor of Klal Yisrael is Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. They're the Tzibos Hashem Shotzi Meretz Yitzrayim. And you have to treat this Tzibor differently. The Tzibor is a vehicle of Kiddush Hashem. And when the Tzibor does well, there's Kiddush Hashem in the world. And when the Tzibor suffers, there's Chil Hashem in the world. And therefore the leader, because he's interested in advancing the cause of the Shechina, advancing the cause of Kiddush Hashem, he devotes his entire life to raising the Tzibor, to raising Klal Yisrael, and to guiding them and to helping them, because he's devoted L'Shem Shemayim, and the best vehicle of Kiddush Shem Shemayim is Klal Yisrael. He's willing to forego his personal life, basically gives up his personal life, and he's hated, shouldn't say hated, but he's cursed and he's stoned and he takes tremendous abuse because he realizes the best way to pursue and to advance the cause of Kiddush Hashem in the world is through being a good leader to these people, as opposed to the corrupt politician who's not interested for the people and he's doing it for himself. He's doing it because he likes the power, he likes the control, it gives him, he loves the kavod, and that's why he's doing it. And he's not willing to really risk it for the nation, and he gets a certain sense that he's really all that, he's on top of it, he has gassus ruach, and he treats the Am in that manner. Okay, fine. Now, to your question of why they got this right before Matan Torah. And really, I think it's the most difficult thing, is like the last part, is what does the misonanim, right? What does this sin of the misonanim have to do with the zakenim? Right? The misonanim are complaining, right? They want out of these mitzvos, they want out of Matan Torah, they want to break from the system of Torah mitzvos. They're trying to get God angry, so God breaks off the relationship. Okay, so God kills the fireball, he kills the some people, and he kills the Shem Zakenim. Why should the Zakenim suffer for that? So I think the answer is you can answer these two things, you know, the two questions. Why it was critical they got the Nevuah. I think basically that the Sifa according to Rashi, the reason the Am had this misguided attitude towards mitzvos, Torah mitzvos, is because of the Zakenim. Okay, it's because of the Zakenim. Is the Am, the regular person, the Hamon, the Hedyot, the Am Aretz, you know, is they look at the Gedolei Yisrael. They look up to the leaders in Klal Yisrael. And they look at them with a tremendous amount of admiration and respect. And in a sense, they view them as representatives of the Shechina, as representatives of God. Okay? And like Chazal say, Mor Rabach Kamor Shemayim. Right, and if you're cholik on your, you're cholik on the Shechina, right? And the Sanhedrin is called Elokim Nitzabad Askel, is you approach Elohim, right? And Mishpat Elohim, who there's a certain, so to speak, transference that people have from their leaders, from the position of authority to God. And like when they see their leaders and the Gedolim acting in a certain way, that's how they interpret the way God treats them. Okay? Like the Rambam, the way the Rambam interprets Moshe Rabbeinu's sin. Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at Bnei Yisrael, he hits the rock, right? What was the sin he gets angry? It's because the Rambam says is that the people used to study Moshe Rabbeinu. If they said Moshe Rabbeinu is angry at us, it must be God is angry at us. Do you have a question?
I'll wait.
Okay, fine. So it's that the people, they look at Moshe Rabbeinu, they look at the Zakenim, look at the Sanhedrin, and they look to study how they're acting. And they interpret that the way they're acting is the proper way to act. The way the Gedolei Yisrael act must be the proper way to act. If this is how they're treating us, this is how God is treating us. And if the Gedolei Yisrael treat Klal Yisrael, where they take out their own power trip on Klal Yisrael, so then the people, where the Gedolim are looking to control the nation, they're looking to have a certain sense of self-aggrandizement and power because of their position over Klal Yisrael, then the people look at God that way. Is that why is God giving us all these restrictions? He's restricting our sexual life, our appetitive life. We can't eat the food. We can't engage in these activities. He's restricting our whole monetary life. How many 613 mitzvahs? Who ever heard of a system of this big? How many details? It's like he's a control freak. He's trying to control our every single life. And then they couldn't take it. They wanted out. What did we get ourselves into? But the reason they related to mitzvos, as opposed to what mitzvos are supposed to be, is supposed to be a guide for a person and to lead a good life and to lead a happy life. And there's a purpose to it, to inherit Yisrael, to produce shalom, and to produce Tish Hashem in the world. And there's a whole purpose of mitzvos, and it's really the tov lach, the best thing for a person. They interpreted the whole system of mitzvos as God, as like a demonic God trying to control them and trying to exert a power trip over them. Is that, yeah, he wants us to be his nation because he wants control, he wants power. And then as a result of that, they wanted out. They wanted out of the relationship. They saw it as being God's trying to control them, take over their lives. And they remembered their life in Egypt when they didn't have this type of a God over them, when they had a certain freedom, chinam and a mitzvos. And they wanted out of the relationship. They angered God. They tried to get out of the relationship. And God kills them. But he kills the Zakenim too. Because ultimately, the reason why the nation and the Hamon has a distorted idea of mitzvos is because of how the Gedolim treated them, how the Zakenim treated them. If Zakenim treat them in an inappropriate way, if they're matil ima ala tzibor, okay, and they're in it not shalo l'shem shemayim, then the people look at God and God's Torah and God's mitzvot in the same way. And that's really ultimately the source of the chet of the Am, and that's why when the Zakenim were really chayiv misa, was when it went further than their own personal sin. Their position of power corrupted them. Yes, that was at Sinai. It wasn't just a sin bein adam l'chaveru, they sin bein adam l'makom. They ate and drank while they had the Mara Nevuah. That was a personal sin. But ultimately, they transmitted that evil and that corruption ended up having an influence on the people. And it ended up corrupting the people's whole relationship to Torah and mitzvos because of their sin. And when that happened, and when the whole nation became distorted, and the whole nation's view of mitzvos became distorted, that's when God really killed the Zakenim. That's when they killed the Zakenim. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I need help here, I need assistance. I can't transmit this message of how to of the Shekhinah on my own. I need somebody to help me with. And the replacement was the Ziknei Amishotrov, the replacement Zakenim, who had the opposite attitude, who were willing to suffer for the Tzibor, the Rachmanim, they put themselves last, the Am came first. That was the type of the paradigm of leadership for Klal Yisrael. Any good question?
First of all, how is that necessarily expressed in those two of like eating? What would you say?
I'm saying
in terms of doing something that's right. Bad for the honest.
I'm saying that the position of power and authority, a person could seek it because it benefits them. Which is, and ultimately power, the power corrupts the person. And the role of authority ends up corrupting them, and they start to believe they have a certain intrinsic worth that because they're at a higher social hierarchy. People think when they ascend levels, they have a coveted position, they're elected to office. Person, the President of the United States, right? I'm President of the United States. You start thinking you're king of the world. You start to get, your head gets full of hot air. You can start to get a big ego. And that leads a person not just to treat his fellow man in an inappropriate way, but ends up, he starts to think he has certain absolute value, that when God calls upon him to give him a message, he starts to think, yeah, that's a confirmation that I'm really great and I'm buddy-buddy with God. There's something special about me. So how could they eat and drink while they're in front of the Shekhinah? How could they possibly do that? Because the position of power went to their head, and they got the totally wrong idea of the position of power.
That was then reflected in the Am.
And that ended up, right, and because they treated the Am that way, and that was how the Am related to the Gedolim, to the leaders, as these people just want to control us, they started interpreting, that's why God is doing all these mitzvahs. That's why God is doing all these commandments. And he's trying to control us also. And then and who wants to be in a relationship with a God who's just trying to control you, who's just trying to get... This was a critical message. The attitude of the Zakenim towards the people, it was, and that's, I think, answers your question, Jacob, why it was had to be given the day before Matan Torah. It's because the idea of Kabbalah Torah mitzvos is, in order for it to be effective, for people to have the right attitude towards mitzvos, is it's necessary for the Gedolei Yisrael to have the right attitude towards the Am, and to treat the Am properly. And if they treat the Am properly, there's a chance that people will accept the mitzvos in the proper framework. And if they don't, and if they take Matal Imal Tzibor Shlo L'Shem Shemayim, and it's Gassus Ruach, then the people are going to have the wrong attitude, and that's the way the people are. They take up the attitude, how they relate to their leaders, they relate to God. And they're going to want out. They're not going to want to be part of a system which is just trying to control their life and for some power trip. They're not going to want God's nation. They're going to want out.
Yeah, I wonder if you could say something else too, because you said that the Dothan of Aviram, so they were killed by the Eish Zara as recompense.
You mean Nadav and Avihu? Nadav and Avihu, you mean?
Nadav and Avihu. So they were killed, even though at that moment, when they had they were Ochel and Shoseh, right?
Yeah, right.
So, but why was it delayed? I wonder if you could say that, because God will want to teach a lesson where it's going to be apparent. So, Nevuah, my understanding is that's we have experience with it, but it is something which is a private type of a thing. But if God wants to teach a lesson, so he waits for an opportune moment where they're doing the same chait again.
Right.
And they were poskening in front of Moshe, or they went in Shosa, whatever. There was like the Shiso Yayin. So God kills them later on to do more of a public education for the Am.
It could be. I mean, you see, you're right. The Zakenim were also killed publicly. And the pasuk says, V'niktash Bechlodi, right? B'mechubodai.
Right, Bechlodai, right.
Right, yeah, you're right. The Kish Hashem came when God killed them. And presumably right. The same thing when he killed the Zakenim, that creates a Kish Hashem. It tries to rectify the original chait. It seems like they were killed in public because it created a Kiddush Hashem. Definitely by Nadav and Avihu.
Yeah, you could have killed them at the spot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rashi says not to create a Velus, but I mean, it seems like they were killed publicly to create Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, go ahead.
How much can we necessarily hold to the people then? If this is what they saw as a relationship with God, so, I mean, it seems like they did do a chait of their own. Are we punishing them for
that? Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what, you know, the chait, the Am's culpable too, you know? Ultimately, you know, it comes from the Zakenim.
They're not have a direct, I mean,
that's what we're saying. Well, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, I mean, that's, they could have tried, you know, they could have learned more from Moshe Rabbeinu, less from the Zakenim. They have Bechira. You know, the Torah doesn't absolve them of their sin, but the Torah doesn't absolve the Zakenim of their sin. Everybody plays a role. Everybody gets the fire.
Do we see a change in behavior necessarily after the new leaders take over?
Not really.
I mean, because we're saying
ultimately it's the Meraglim.
What?
I mean,
so how can you say that then? I mean, proposing now that because of these leaders that they're
still Bechira. You know, there's no perfect plan. I mean, the Zakenim were not at fault for the Meraglim, you know, the Chedim Meraglim ultimately. It's a different chait. But I mean, you have to go through the following sins. And I mean, ultimately, that generation, you know, didn't end up. Maybe one time we'll take up what happens with that generation. But, this was the plan. These came in good leaders. But still, you know, the nation doesn't have to listen to them. It's still Bechira. There you go.
Did you answer how
the double chet worked, meaning which chet are they being punished for?
I'm saying really they're being punished for, I'm saying they're related. It's the two sins are related. It's the sin of how the leader views the people, okay, and how he treats the people, and he's really in it for his own sake and not them. Where it starts off as like a relative gaiva, where he feels exalted above them, but then it ends up culminating in a certain objective gaiva, where he feels on a certain, gives himself, attributes a certain objective worth relative to God. In an absolute sense, right? And that's why they were able to eat and drink. It's like their position of, as a leader, let them feel that they're really closer to God. There's something special about them, and that they're very, that therefore, you know, they're friendly with God in a way that was inappropriate. But like it's almost like the position of being a leader was harmful for them. It harmed them because it catered to that fantasy and it gave them confirmation. And you know, and they misinterpreted, you know, they're being called up to Sinai for that nevuah, and ultimately, you know, they took it in the wrong way, and they were able to eat and drink in front of the Shechina and mechayev themselves misa. So it's really for both. It's like they're not two separate. It's one path of a personality path of a certain kind of a leader, the corrupt leader, politician.
Right, we're not explaining why they were punished later as opposed to right away for any of them.
Oh, well, I'm saying the reason they're punished at like the Misonanim, yeah, is because the Rashi says because God didn't want to kill them at Har Sinai. He didn't want to mix Avelis with the Simcha Matan Torah.
What about when they slipped away?
Why they didn't? Why were they weren't punished then?
Well, that was first.
It would seem that then until the Chet really took on the proportions of not just being bad leaders, but it ended up culminating in like a lack of Kvod HaShechina.
Right.
They weren't really. It didn't really, you know, it didn't really culminate. It hadn't really been completed. The completion was when it took on that step of where they were willing to eat and drink in front of God. It was caused by their attitude to the Am, but that was the completion of the Chet.
And Nadav and Avihu is different?
It's a different, we're not taking Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu is a different thing. Okay, fine. Just the last thing, just the Rashi from this week's Parsha. Just, is you might say that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convince them, Ashrechem, right? You're very fortunate to be leaders of Klal Yisrael, right? So the, you know, the question might be is it doesn't seem so fortunate, right? Who the heck wants the job of having to nurse a child? It doesn't seem like a very fortunate job. But basically it's Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and Vayikra. So Rashi says it's on, he says, Lamor, okay? So Magad says, Vayikra Hashem Moshe Vayidaber, Vayikra Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Eilav Me'ol Moed Lamor. So what is Lamor? It says, Seva Omer Lehem Dirik Kvushim. Okay, go tell Klai Yisrael, God says Moshe, go tell Klai Yisrael, give them winning words. Okay? That's what they interpret in English. Winning words, Kivush, conquer them, yeah. Make them happy, okay? What should you tell them? Bishvilchem Hu Nidaber Imri. Because of you, Klal Yisrael, God speaks to me, Moshe Rabbeinu. Shekim Atzinu, Shekol Lamed Cheshana Shehu Yisrael B'Midbar Kimid Nudin, and the Meraglim, the 38 years that they were in the Midbar, they were like banned, they were rejected from God. Meraglim Eilech, Lo Nisyachet Edibar Moshe. So then there was no Dibor with a certain Chiba of Yichud with Moshe Rabbeinu. And they all know it in the same way. Shenemar, Vayu Kashetamu Kanshe Melchama Lamos. After, at the end of the 40 years and everybody died, Vayidaber Hashem Eli Lamor. Okay, Eli Hayodibor, right? Only after the Dor HaMidbar died out and the onish to that generation was over, did the Dibor come to motion the same way again. And Moshe was just trying to God told him to transmit this point to the nation. Okay? And you know, the same thing by the ego. It says, Lech Re, go down. Rekishiches Amcha. That the gedula of Moshe Rabbeinu was only because of Klal Yisrael. Okay, so on the one hand, yeah, the burden of the leader is a terrible burden. He bears it, and they're stoning him and cursing him. But on the other hand, it's a position where he's able to rise to the greatest heights. What do I do here?
You hang it up.
Sorry, Marshall. It's a position where he's able to rise to the greatest heights because of it. And because Moshe Rabbeinu was in that position, he took on the shlichas, and he was able to be the vehicle of giving Klal Yisrael the Torah at Sinai, and he was able to rise to the highest level of nevuah. And without this position, he never would have got to that level. So it's a terrible job, but it's the person who's willing to sacrifice his personal life on behalf of the tzibur, he ultimately benefits the most from this thing.
because of that sacrifice? Meaning that sacrifice is a perfection?
Yeah.
Or something else?
Both. Both. The sacrifice itself is a tremendous perfection. He's willing to sacrifice his personal life for Kiddush Hashem, for the Am. And also, in that role, he gains. Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been Moshe Rabbeinu risen to Levuah if there was no Torah to be given. Okay, but if he doesn't accept the job of being the leader of Klai Yisrael, he doesn't give the Torah. Okay, so it's only for Klai Yisrael. If there's no Klai Yisrael, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's that the role of the leader of Klai Yisrael, it's your personal life suffers very greatly, but it's your person's able to reach the highest level of perfection in that role.
It's like parenting, no? To some degree?
To some degree, hopefully. Hopefully.
No.
We'll end on that note. Okay, good.
So you have, what's it called?
Okay, so Avi Hirschman. Good, it's a good point. It's a good point. No, the Rav talked about this point a lot. Is that when two people, when they get married, so they're living the life, okay? It's a great life, but it's a very selfish life, okay? But all of a sudden you have a child, and it forces the person to really learn selflessness, to direct his energies away from himself, and you're basically you're sacrificing your personal life by having a child. Why people do it, it's like we're driven by this insane biological thing to do it, but it's crazy, okay? Or a person can be motivated by perfection, okay? There's two possibilities why a person does that, okay? But it ultimately, is parenting, it's true, is the same thing. And the halacha is that a person who has no children, he's not really allowed to be on Sanhedrin. Okay, why is a person's Mishein Lo Banim can't be one of the Zakenim? Because a person, he doesn't have Rachmanis. Okay, a person doesn't have Rachmanis. And also that's why a person who's old, very old, who's Rashi says he's very far from having children in his life, so he also has no Rachmanis. So it's the process of raising children really brings out the Midah of Rachmanis in a person, which is the critical characteristic of somebody of Sanhedrin. Okay, so it's, yeah, the same thing, the same idea of having children. That's why the pasuk compares Moshe Rabbeinu as the role of a leader to the role of a parent who takes care of a child. And it's the same perfection on a person. It teaches him the midas of Rachmanis, and that's really enables him to be Mahu Af'ata, resemble the midas of Kadosh Baruch Hu, of Rachman. Very nice addition, very nice.